you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with The Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's time now for our regional roundup where we put the attention on Malaysia and Thailand. A bit of political turmoil in these two areas. Malaysian politics continue to dominate the headlines. Prime Minister Mahathir Yassin's premiership hanging in the balance. It's also high stakes for UMNO because the ouster of Mahathir Yassin would spell the fate of not only Malaysia's government, but also the future of the once dominant party. And we see a lot of, probably some of the worst infighting that's going on within that party right now. There are even analysts that say that the Prime Minister has several options on the table to save his position, but which one can he realistically take? Over in Thailand, the Premier there in the spotlight for ordering a ban on disseminating information on COVID-19 that could potentially spread fear among residents, only to revoke it after a court order. He's also had his hands full with a car mob protest that took place just yesterday in the capital, Bangkok. Thousands of Thai anti-government protesters drove a convoy of cars and motorcycles through the city amid rising anger over the handling of the coronavirus pandemic by the administration. Let's dive into those two stories with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent for The Straits Times. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot.
Thanks for helping us out with this.
Sorry.
In Malaysia, we were just talking last week, and we keep using the words like, okay, Mohidin's fate is almost sealed. But then it seems that he's bought himself a little bit of time, claiming that he's still got a majority in parliament, although it seems that it feels like it's the opposite. There's also this case of UMNO making public signed letters withdrawing support for the Premier that was sent to the palace last week. I mean, how important were those letters, but why is Mohidin still in power?
Well, he's managed to dodge several bullets. But, as the days go by, the walls appear to be closing in. Talking about the letters, UMNO, as reported, 14 letters were sent to the King, basically stating that they have withdrawn their support for both Mohidin and the Perikatan National Coalition Government. Now, those letters have also been accompanied now, we understand, by similar positions from another 105 MPs, giving that total number between 119 and 120, depending on how, which clearly suggests that Mohidin has lost the majority. Question now is, what happens when he has, or should he have, his weekly audience with the King before cabinet meeting? It's going to be quite a drama-filled day today because we understand that senior leaders from the coalition partners of the Perikatan National Party will be descending in Kuala Lumpur today, if they haven't already, for meetings with Mohidin. But these meetings are set to take place later in the afternoon. But, between then and now, a lot can happen.
Wait.
And the crucial thing will be the King.
Okay, wait. Hang on. So, yep. Am I right to say that just because he's bought time till next month where there's this confidence vote, it's still possible for Mohidin to have to step down before that?
Well, you see, the thing is that this is where, he's bought time for the confidence vote, which is supposed to be held in September. But given that there is this very, very clear question now about his legitimacy and whether he still enjoys the majority, which clearly from the letters suggests that he does not enjoy the majority, the king can actually say not to hold back the confidence motion to September, when the parliament sits in September, but actually order the Prime Minister to have one as early as next week, say next Wednesday, week from now. You know, so a lot of things can happen, number of scenarios could play out. But like I said, you know, as each week goes by, you know, Muhyiddin pulls off a maneuver, but the walls keep closing in. So, you know, what we're seeing, I don't see a situation where, you know, unless the king does something highly controversial, like say, okay, you know, I agree that you don't have the majority, but I'll allow you to manage the situation until we can hold elections. That appears very, very unlikely at this point.
So there's a lot of clarification that needs to happen. I mean, his deputy Ismail Sabri Yaakob last week insisted that 31 out of 42 UMNO-led BN lawmakers continue to support the coalition's move to form the Muhyiddin-led government, at least until there's fresh elections. But then there were three MPs among them insisting that they did not take such a position. Leslie, I hate to ask you an impossible question, but what can Muhyiddin do to gain that confidence? I mean, it sounds like an impossible task right now.
Well, at this point in time, it is, you know, because, you know, it's clearly a numbers game and the math doesn't add up for him at this point. You know, Ismail Sabri insisted that he's got 31 out of the 42 BN lawmakers. That would suggest that there's 28, I don't know my MPs from that number, but that number is still up in the air. No one knows for sure. You know, but we do know that at least 14 UMNO MPs have written to the king, stating very, very clearly that they pulled out. How many more will join them from UMNO? We don't know. Well, clearly there is a split in the party, yes. But, you know, so UMNO becomes less of a force at this point, less of a force in determining the outcome. So I can't see, you know, an UMNO prime minister happening because, you know, in any event, it will be a very divided block of 38 elected members of parliament, a very divided one. So, you know, that party trying to take a lead, it seems, I think, any kind of notion towards that end, it's kind of misplaced at this point.
It's a weird time. I mean, when you consider, you study the history of the formation of UMNO back in secondary school, now it's come to this. Gosh, let's go to Thailand, where the Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha recently revoked his order to ban the dissemination of information, including news and content, that could frighten the public during the COVID-19 pandemic. This was done on July 29th for fear that this information could be distorted and cause any misunderstanding during the state of emergency. I mean, what led to this happening and then after that pulling back on this decision, Leslie?
Well, you see, the thing is that, you know, politics, just like in Malaysia, it's, you know, these showdowns tend to be a slow burn, you know.
Okay.
But the spark that could trigger a tipping point is always something that is least expected. This crisis has been dragging on and there's anger, just like a lot of other countries in ASEAN, where, you know, the public have grown very, very frustrated, angry even, about the government, their respective governments' handling of the pandemic and this crisis, which has caused quite a lot of anguish, trauma, you know, serious national trauma in the form of, you know, deaths in families and all these kind of stuff. And I think, you know, some may suggest that, oh, are the courts no longer with Prime Minister Prayut? But, you know, institutions can appear to be accommodative at a certain point. But when they see, you know, mismanagement, bad handling of a situation, you know, these institutions tend to, you know, go with the public too. You know? Yeah. So this is how things pan out. Like I said, it's a slow burn. And when things change, they change, you know, slowly. But when the tipping point happens, it can be very, very quick.
Yeah, I mean, it really reflects what we're seeing in the world. I mean, when you look at the Western countries, especially in Europe, a lot of them have been sort of demonstrating and rioting against certain measures, certain mandatory measures. And now in Asia, it's really more about the frustration, Malaysia, Thailand, where how governments are handling COVID-19. I mean, this car mob rally that took place yesterday is probably the least PM Prayut's concerns right now.
Exactly. But, you know, it just shows how protesters are coming up with this kind of novel ideas to basically demonstrate, you know, their frustrations and anger. So I think we can expect more of this in Bangkok, certainly, you know. And, you know, if the situation doesn't, you know, just like get better in Malaysia. I mean, you know, no, there's no saying that things won't go the same way too, you know. So, so I think we need to watch these two places. And, you know, as numbers continue to spike and, you know, debt numbers also continue to rise, the public anger, understandably, is going to rise in tandem.
Does it put pressure on his position as PM?
For sure. I mean, you know, all of this puts pressure on any, or would put pressure on any leader, and we're seeing it. You know, we're seeing that.
Gosh, we've been speaking with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent for The Straits Times. Leslie, as always, appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.